Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. What is going to happen to you after you die? Have you ever thought about that one? Christians, we talk about eternal life, salvation, but what does that exactly mean? What does it look like? Every week at both services, we say the Apostles' Creed, and in there, we confess that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. But have you ever wondered how exactly that's going to look? When you die, Jesus promises that there will be a bodily resurrection of all those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Why do we believe in a bodily resurrection? Because Jesus was raised in his body. That's why. Think about it. On that first Easter day, when the women came to the tomb, they could have been told by the angel there that Jesus' soul and spirit were taken to heaven. That would have been really good news still. When we died then, we could believe that our soul and our spirit would be taken to heaven as well. But that's not what happened, is it? No, that's not what the disciples experienced at all. That's not what happened when the women came to the tomb. They found the tomb empty. There was no body left in it. When Jesus showed up later in the upper room, for instance, to the disciples, what did he do? Was he just floating around like a ghost in and out of the walls? That's not what he was like. He said, "Thomas, come here and stick your finger in my side. Stick your finger in my hand. It's me. I've still even got my body." When Jesus appeared to his disciples on the beach, he ate fish with them. Again, if he was just a ghost, if he was just a spirit, he wouldn't have been eating anything. Jesus was raised in his body. And that's why we believe that there will be a bodily resurrection for us as well. So what's your body going to look like when it's raised from the dead? Maybe that's what we're mostly worried about. I think it's a good question. I don't think that any of us know the exact answer to this question, but we do have some hints that I want to share with you. First, we're going to look something like ourselves. In every encounter with the risen Jesus, the disciples eventually recognize that it's him. However, by the same token, we must look different too, because in many of their encounters with Jesus, the disciples did not recognize him at first. For instance, the two disciples who are walking to Emmaus had this long conversation with Jesus after he was resurrected, before they ever even knew that it was him. It says that they didn't recognize him until they were breaking bread with him. Mary didn't recognize Jesus when she saw him in the garden. She thought he was the gardener until he said her name, and then she recognized him. So our reading from 1 Corinthians puts it this way. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. What does perishable mean? I only think about it when it comes to like food, when I'm giving something to a food, you know, to bring non-perishable goods. But perishable, what would that mean for us? It means to spoil or decay. So how are our bodies perishable? Well, as we get older, our skin loses its elasticity, you get wrinkles, our eyesight, our hearing gets worse. I said our hearing gets worse. I mean, this is just part of life. Our skin dies, it's dying all the time. Our hair, we lose our hair and then it grows back, mostly. Right? This is just part of getting older. That's what happens. Even if you just sit around all day long and don't do anything, eventually you start to stink. Your body is decaying as we speak all the time. So I think it's reasonable to guess, at least, that while we're still going to have a body when we're resurrected, it won't be exactly the same as what we have now. Earlier in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that we're sown a natural body, but raised a spiritual body. We're planted, so to speak, think about at a graveside. We're planted into the ground with a body that's spoiled and decayed and died. But now we hear that we're going to be raised in a body, but a spiritual one that's not going to be ravaged by time, that's not going to decay, that's not going to spoil. So it's still a body, but it's going to be different somehow. Now, why does this even matter? I mean, is it just sort of a thought experiment? Well, I think there is one practical reason, at least. It means that our bodies aren't bad things. That God created us, and he created our bodies good. And believe it or not, that was a pretty controversial statement when the Bible was written. And I believe it's still kind of controversial, even in our day and age. When the Bible was written, there were a group of Christians that are known today as Gnostics. The word gnosis is a Greek word. It means knowledge. And these Gnostic Christians believed that Jesus gave his disciples special knowledge, like secrets, just to the disciples, just to his followers, so that they might receive eternal life through these secret teachings. And eternal life would mean that they were going to leave their earthly bodies behind and just be raised up in a spiritual manner to heaven. Why just their spirits? Well, because Christian Gnostics believed that while the spirit was very good, the body was evil. You can still see echoes of this kind of thinking in the church today. Do you know why that in the Roman Catholic Church, during Lent, it encourages its members to only eat fish on Fridays? You all have these fish fries around town? Because things like steak or pork or chicken is too fatty and too delicious. I mean, I'm being a little sarcastic, but that's the main point. You're supposed to make your body suffer here on earth, especially during Lent, because your body's a bad thing, and it causes you to do bad things, like crave chocolate, or want to drink really wonderful things that's bad for you. Now, I like fasting from food, because I often feel like when I'm fasting, I can be more focused on God, but I don't do it because I think my body is bad and deserves to be punished. You hear the same kind of thinking from the church when it comes to another activity that people do with their bodies. I don't mean to be too controversial, but it's called sex, okay? Throughout history, the church has often talked about sex in a very negative way, even when it comes to intimacy between a husband and a wife. Like, you should feel ashamed to even discuss the matter, let alone engage in such an act. Yet the very first thing that God told Adam and Eve to do in the Garden of Eden was to be fruitful and multiply. And just to give you a hint, he wasn't telling them to go learn math. Yeah, see, it took a little bit, but I wanted you to be able to giggle. God made our bodies good, okay? There's no reason to feel guilty about using our bodies in the good ways that God meant them to be used, as long as we're not breaking the boundaries that he's set for us in Scripture. Society in general, I think even more so than the church, but it's seeped into the church. We have this idea that our spirit means more than our bodies. So I'm not going to go into all the different ways, but you will hear this all the time. You can change your body as long as you feel a certain way. As long as spiritually you feel a certain way, you can change your body because that's no big deal. I would argue that God made your body a specific way and that it's good that way. We don't need to change it just because we feel differently. Our belief in a bodily resurrection is important to remember, to stand against those in our day and age who would still make us feel bad for having a body or make us feel bad that our body is built a specific way. Eating a nice, fatty ribeye covered in garlic butter, that's not a sin. Now, if you eat too much of it, you might get sick. If you eat too much food too often, you might need to cut back, because that's called gluttony in the Bible, and that's a sin, but it's much more related to greed than anything else. Your body was made by God, and He is going to raise it up for you again after you die. In fact, it's not just your spirit that matters to God. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now, throughout the Old Testament, the prophets like Elijah and Elisha, they both raised people from the dead. The promise of resurrection was always a sign of God's power on the earth. Jesus raised a young woman early on in his ministry, and then in the Gospel of John, he raised his friend Lazarus, even though Lazarus had been dead 3 days. Jesus died on the cross and then was raised by God his Father 3 days later as well. All these people were raised in their bodies. And that's why we can hope for that as well. It's not just a spiritual idea. It's not just a thought experiment. It's a bodily resurrection. And I don't care if you're buried in a casket or if you're cremated. I don't care if you're cut down in the prime of your life or if it's been after years and years of aging. God has promised that He will raise you up to a heavenly home with a brand new spiritual body. We will all be changed. That we know for certain. Now, I know this is amazing, and I know it feels weird to talk about, but we still confess it each and every week, and it's good news. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen.